What's on my mind is two events of last night. One of the ladies came out and she said, "Thank you for talking about marriage." But two events in the occasion itself, there was a couple there that came up to me and they said, "We're going to be 27 years married, and could you bless us?" And they're just a beautiful couple. And I said, "How about if you just renew your vows?" And there in the middle of the bookstore, I asked him to say the words that he said to her 27 years before. "I take you to be my wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health, until death do us part." And as they looked at each other, and he said those words to her 27 years later, and she said to him, "I take you to be my husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health, until death do us part." That was such a magnificent moment. They now have children, and this was enriched, that vow that they had taken 27 years before. But to look at their eyes and to see them expressing that spousal love. Marriage is such a magnificent gift, and it is a God-given gift. In these days and this time, it's so important, and I would love to just renew again the simplicity of the creation of marriage by God. God made marriage. God made sex. God made man. God made woman. And we read in the second chapter of Genesis, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a suitable partner for him.' So the Lord God formed out of the ground various wild animals and various birds of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would name them. Whatever the man called each of them would be its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, all the birds of the air, all the wild animals, but none proved to be suitable partner for the man. So the Lord God cast a deep sleep on the man. And while he was asleep, he took out of his rib and closed it up in its place with flesh. The Lord God then built up into a woman the rib that he had taken from the man. When he brought her to the man said, 'This one at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of her man, this one has been taken.' That is why a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife, and the two of them become one body. The man and his wife were both naked, yet they had no shame." That magnificent creation of marriage is a God-given creation. God made marriage. God made you as a man and you as a woman. And he put into you this unique love that's called spousal love. This is absolutely such a magnificent gift. so that when you and your husband can look at each other, as that couple did last night, they could take their vows. The second incident was, just as I was ready to leave, this man come up to me, and we were packing up and wanting to leave because it was rather late. And this man said, "Would you bless my wife?" And I saw her, and she was in a wheelchair, sitting there. And, "Oh," she said, "Father, I should come." "Oh, no." I said, I want to come to you. And then he accompanied me to her wheelchair. And there she was, very crippled. And for 23 years, he's been taking care of her. Since you might, I don't know what the origin was, of a stroke or something. But here he was. "I will take you for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health." And here he was, this dedicated husband, for all these years. I know a man back in Scranton, and it just reminded me of him, that his wife has Alzheimer's. And every day for 16 years, he has cared for her at home. 16 years. For better, for worse, for rich. This magnificent gift of marriage that was created by God. And so the what is that that gives the husband and the wife this magnificent creation? The creation of marriage was by God, but it has been elevated not only to a creation, but to a sacrament. And so when Paul talks about the relationship of husband and wife in Ephesians, he's been talking about how we are called to be infused with the life of God, the baptized Christian, man and woman. And Paul is giving instructions as to what that relationship is. And in the fifth chapter of Ephesians, he's talking to husbands and wives. "Be subordinate to one another out of love for Christ." Wives should be subordinate to their husbands as to the Lord. "For the husband is head of his wife, just as Christ is head of the body, the church." Just as Christ loves his body, which is the church, he himself, the Savior of the body, as the church is subordinate to Christ, so wives should be subordinate to their husbands. Because in everything, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and handed himself over for her to sanctify her and cleanse her by the bath of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So also husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. The unity of a man and woman is not only that God made the man and God made the wife, and they are two in one flesh, but the unity is that Christ in you, husbands, and Christ in you, wives, that Christ union, that just as Christ is one, so that magnificent gift, and in this world, it is greater than the love you have for your own mother or for your own father. A man leaves his father and mother, that person that you married is closer to you than your own mother or father, because the interpenetration of glance of your souls, it's not just your bodies that unites you. It's the inner understanding of seeing that other. When you have spousal love, it is the deepest love in this world. And there in the Ephesians, it's compared to Christ's love for you and me. So deep did Christ want to enter into every Christian that he wanted to interpenetrate the deepest part of my being. And that's what he does through baptism. And now here in marriage, a man and a woman enter into this union so that the special person that is becoming your husband and your wife, do you remember how and when and through which that relationship grew of your husband to you? And you, husbands, how your wife's love grew within you. That penetration is deep within your soul. What is spousal love? That's what gives you, and it was right there when you took your vows. You loved her so much, you could say, before God, that's what a vow is. I love you so much, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health, I will love you until I die. The only thing that can break that bond of love between a man and a woman is death. Those of you who are widows, who are listening to this, that spouse that you had, or a widower, that union that you had with the one here on earth, that it was the deepest love that anyone, it's deeper than the love, and this is a very important thing, and I don't think we all keep this, not only greater than the love you have for your parents, a man shall leave his father and mother and cling to his wife, but it's also greater than the love you have for your children. I would like to remind us of that again today. No matter how deeply you love the children that is born, that are born of your union, your love for one another is greater. The greatest thing you can give your children in love is to give them the example of what it is for their father and mother to love one another. That love that is between the two of you will never do anything to harm them. That intimacy and union. In fact, the greatest thing you can give as an example to your children is to love their mother. The greatest thing that you can give as an example to your children is to love their father. And so marriage was created by God, and his purpose was to bring not only children into this world, but to have you experience, and there it is, in St. Paul, for you to experience what the love of God is like in one another. There is no greater love in this world than spousal love. And Paul says, God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son. The example that Paul uses there is that Christ so loved us in the church that he laid down his life for us. In Christian marriage, in an everyday way, on a daily basis, for all the years that you've been married, what you have been doing is telling your wife, I love you. Every day that I get up and go to work, every day that I take care of the child, every day that I do whatever I do, that is that ordinary example to to my husband, to my wife, each and every day, I am spelling out in the ordinary activities of life, love, love for one another. When husbands and wives will love one another as Christ loved his church, we are going to have such a fantastic renewal of family life. I recommend very strongly the enthronement of the Sacred Heart, that you, as you love one another in your daily lives, there will be a magnificent development of intimacy between husband and wife. And so as that love grows, then that intimacy will continue to grow. I also am aware that some of you who are listening are divorced. Some of you who are listening are not only widowed, but separated. The pain of what that must involve. You know, I have it in my family. I have a brother who I married, and the two just were just so unhappy together. That it was a very, very painful experience, especially for the three children of my nephews that were involved with that breakup of that family. That eventually, you know, it had its own story, and I do hold great hope out for every one of you who may be listening. But I don't think anything will take away from the pain of having stood before the altar. No one ever gets married so that they will be divorced. You get married to be there for life. That experience has to be one of the most painful events of your life. And as I speak of Christian marriage, I have to think of you, and I have to think of the tragedies of modern life and what is happening to Christian families and any family that experiences a divorce. You see, in Islam, a man is allowed to have four wives. And it is kind of common in the practice. And to have multiple wives and brothers and sisters, half-brothers, half-sisters, and the kind of family life that can exist there in the Islamic world. In Africa, where a man in a tribe is can have as many as 10 or 12 wives. You know, I met a missionary of charity, and she was the daughter of the fourth of 16 wives. The Christian marriage, which we're talking about, is what Jesus was talking about when he was talking about the Moses issuing a decree of divorce for the Jews. It was not that way from the beginning. God made the male and female. God made marriage to be a commitment that would not be broken. My beloved young people, or whatever age you are, when you are going to enter into and exchange your marriage vows, this is one of the greatest and most magnificent gifts that God can give you. If you experience in your heart a love for someone that's so different that you can look at that person and say, I love you, and I will be yours, for better, for worse. I will be yours whether we have riches or whether we have poverty. I will be yours whether there's sickness or health. I will be yours until I die. When you look at that gift in your heart, as a married person or as a single person who's contemplating marriage, when you look at that gift, you have the greatest gift that God can give a human being in this world. You have the gift of spousal love. And when you meet someone that you are giving that love to, who has that same love for you, what a magnificent gift. Christian marriage is on this earth a sign of God's love for us. God so loved us that he laid down his life for us.